right, welcome back to the show, everybody, as we continue to roll on here. Little Remedy by the Black Crowes. I once saw them out on South Main. When I was playing professional soccer, I don't think Eddie Robinson was born. We were playing in Butler Stadium out of South Main.
I played there when I was in high school.
See that?
That was.
I knew I was following great. No, I was probably before you two.
I used to play over there when I was playing with Yates. Yates High School.
Played Foss there once. We played Leones Negros from Mexico.
Yeah.
Played Sheffield United there. Linfield. Glentoran. Got some real history out there.
Clubs.
Yes. Believe it or not, this field was so small, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, and then he had that lump, that hump in the middle. Oh.
It was different times, and that's why it's pretty amazing.
That's where Victor Delgadillo used to play his finals.
Running all the great Hispanic leagues. Yeah, one of the great people in Houston soccer history that we probably haven't honored as much as we should. What a gentleman, too, Victor was. It's nice you brought that up. All right, so we come back. Gustavo Rangel, La Prensa, Telemundo. Tom Clare, the noted author. Eddie Robinson, the former Dynamo. Big fan of bacon.
That's the understatement of the century.
I know. You know I had to do. You know, I love joking around with you.
It's a condiment in my
It's a condiment. All right. So I'm going to take you, Gustavo, into Mexico, U.S. Mexico, obviously, right now is trumping the United States in a lot of areas, the youth level, the full senior team. But I want to strictly go to you now. Tuca Ferretti does the great job, says I'm only going to be here 4 games, gets the business done beating the U.S., clearly the better team. And now you get Juan Carlos Osorio, who used to be in Major League Soccer. What do the Mexican fan base think of Osorio as a hiring?
They're upset. They're upset. There's a coach that doesn't deserve to, you know, just come in and take over the national team. You know, he has no merit.
Why?
You know? Well, because first of all, he hasn't coached, you know, a national team of this level with the expectations of this of Mexico. I mean, yeah, sure, you know, Mexico is not, you know, Argentina, and it's not Brazil, and it's not up there with England, or you know, but it's a team that, you know, has a great following. There's a lot of expectation, you know, with that team. And Osorio, I mean, he failed here. You know, I mean, there's no other way about it. He's gone through, I think, 8 clubs. He's basically broken 8 contracts through his career. The guy just kind of leaves things, you know, halfway done. You know, I don't see him. You know, yeah, he coached Puebla. You know, which is one of the smaller teams in Mexico. They didn't do it well either, and I really don't see how he convinced the people at the Federation.
Yeah, how does that deal get done? Because you go from Jurgen Klopp, which that was a joke too, to Marcelo Bielsa, which is probably less of a joke.
Yeah,
to Juan Carlos Osorio.
Because I think the reputation of the national team, the Mexican national team, as far as who has the power of that team, Televisa. You know, the owners, the club owners. I think the guys that are really calling the shots at the end of the day, I think that in some way has pushed away potential good candidates. They're like, I don't want to go to that nightmare. I don't want to be in.
Yeah, who
involved.
Wants to coach Mexico?
Yeah, I don't want to do it. So I think they settled. You know, at the end of the day, they just settled for somebody, and Osorio got lucky, and now he says that. You know, he wants to make his dream come true of, you know, coaching in a World Cup. So that's what the national team has come to now. You know, now we're fulfilling dreams for coaches that don't deserve it.
All right. Can we switch gears now to Major League Soccer? And I wanted to get that opinion from Gustavo because I think it's important. So we got knockout rounds Wednesday and Thursday. We got Montreal, Toronto, D.C., New England, Portland, Sporting, Kansas City, and Seattle, L.A. We got some great matchups. Let's start, Tom, and let's go real quick here, and we'll get some predictions. Seattle, L.A., with all the big stars, Tom, who do you think wins it?
Seattle.
And why?
I just think they're more together. You know, I think they're more together as a team. I think they've got that know-how how to win games.
At the right time.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're facing the dynasty of the MLS.
They're at home. Seattle's at home. Yeah.
That's a big thing. Sorry. I mean, that crowd at Seattle it's phenomenal. You know,
and really. Gerard's a shell of his former self. Yeah. DeSantos. At times is good. If Robbie Keane doesn't score, LA's mid-table.
I don't know, but they have the experience. They've done it over and over again. The team that's done it the most, you know what I mean? So, I know. I give them the
benefit of the doubt. They're coming in off a loss. Seattle's coming in off a win, so we'll see. So, Gustavo goes L.A., Tom goes Seattle, Eddie goes Seattle, I go Seattle. D.C. United, New England. Tom, you started off.
D.C. United.
Eddie?
I'm going with New England. They're on fire right now. D.C.'s been horrible the last 2 months, and to lose 5-0 to Columbus, the last game of the season.
DC United, they basically crawled into the playoffs in a way because they had such a good start. But,
crawling sometimes.
Yeah, well, and listen, is there a worse home field advantage in Major League Soccer than RFK Stadium?
Yeah.
I don't think it can get much worse.
For all of you who want to call from the nation's capital, here is Eddie Robinson's phone number. The number is
336-215-8.
Yeah, I think New England.
Okay, I'm going to go with New England as well. I just 5-0 coming into the playoffs to me is – and by the way, D.C. after the great season last year also faltered right in the beginning of the playoffs. Portland Sporting Kansas City. Now I'm just going to tip you off, guys. 10 goals in 3 games for Portland. They are scoring goals, taking on Peter Vermees and Sporting.
Kansas.
I like Tom's going against the grain a little bit here.
Kansas.
He's picking Sporting Kansas City, Peter Vermees and Benny Failhaber. Eddie.
Kansas City, their attitude, and Portland, their last game was against Colorado, who's arguably been the worst team in the league this year. You score 4 against the worst team in the league. Oh, whoop-de-doo. Sporting Kansas City had a tough run. They've turned it around. I think they're going to win.
Yeah, Sporting, we got to call one of their games, and it's just one of those teams that, you know, in a way kind of remind me of an old version of the Dynamo. You know what I mean? I mean, they know how to put it together. You know what I mean? They may go through some obstacles, but at the end of the day, they'll find a way to put it together. And that's been that kind of team this year.
So Gustavo, Eddie, Sporting Kansas City, Tom with Kansas. Portland. I'm going with Tom, too, because I just think the law of averages are coming up with the Timbers. They're playing at home. They're maybe in the most confident period they've ever been in at Providence Park, so we'll see how that one goes. Seattle and Los Angeles, so we got the Stars. We got Gerard. We got Dos Santos, Robbie Keane. And you have... Oh, yeah, we forgot Montreal, Toronto. Well, we'll get to that. Seattle and Los Angeles, and Seattle's Obafemi, Martins, and Dempsey. So a big article comes out in the newspaper. Was Clint Dempsey worth the investment? What does he do, Tom? He scores 2 goals.
Exactly. He's worth the investment, obviously. I mean, he's a class player. You know, I get annoyed with people who start questioning his ability.
$25 million for 3.5 years?
But that's the nature of the game today, isn't it?
Good paycheck.
In Major League Soccer, that's better. Yeah. You know, as it gets.
It's the nature of the game. And you see these players coming in. You know, I mean, some of the contracts they get.
Just thinking about that $2,800 a month I was making plus an apartment when I made the All-Star team. Didn't go too far. I thought I was rich, though.
£6.10 a week.
Eddie, Seattle, L.A., who you got?
Seattle. No, we did that one already, right?
Yeah, we did Seattle. Yeah. All right. So was in my mind. Sorry. That's why you
Seattle's
were
at home. You're trying, we did that one.
You're trying to get anything.
Seattle's at home.
So I'm going to make a big announcement here tonight. The new host of Soccer Matters on ESPN will be Gustavo Rangel, Tom Clare, and Eddie Robinson.
Toronto, Montreal.
They're going to put me out the pasture. All right. Montreal and Toronto. Obviously, this is a great matchup in Canada. Didier Drogba's turning it on. Toronto's got Giovinco.
Will he be fit? Will Drogba be fit? There's a question.
Is there?
Yeah, I heard a little story this evening.
Something tells me that beast will be in the lineup.
Yeah, well, Montreal for me.
Eddie?
Honestly, I think it's going to be a very high-scoring game. Again, if Drogba's healthy, Piatti, they're going to score goals because Toronto's defense has been shocking all year. But
shocking.
Any given night, we know what Sebastian Giovinco is going to do. He's going to leave us drooling with our chins on the floor. I think it's going to be 4-3 Toronto.
Don't forget Gustavo, Montreal, 2-1 victors over TFC yesterday.
But I'm going to go with Montreal.
I'm with Montreal as well. Well, guys, listen, it's been fascinating, as always, having you in here. This is classic Soccer Matters Radio here tonight on ESPN 97.5. It's always fun for you guys to be here. We're going to do it again real soon. Gustavo, La Prensa, Telemundo. Anything else you want to say to everybody?
No,
out there?
just thank you guys. It was a pleasure being here with you guys. Thank
Always
you.
A pleasure. Tom Clare, he is the author of so many books. You can get them on Amazon, right, Tom?
Yes,
Amazon.com.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. I like inviting Tom because I always get great books from him. He brings me great gifts. Actually, people still read books. I do. And Eddie Robinson, my good pal, my good friend, and analyst on Root Sports.
I look forward to spending some time with you this offseason.
And we're going to...
I concede the rest of my time to Tom.
I think you and me, we could be Caribbean bound.
That would be lovely.
Could be Caribbean. See you, brother. We've talked about it a lot. Yeah. All right, that'll do it for this break. When we come back, I've got a lot more to go here. Steve Davis will be on the program, noted writer. A lot of good thoughts from Steve. And then we're going to finish the show tonight with Matt Pence of the Seattle Times. So a lot going on here tonight. Stay with us. Much, much more to go here. Again, the best in soccer talk. It is ESPN 97.5 and Budweiser and Bud Light remind you to get down to BBVA Compass Stadium. Bud Light reminds you, get over to HoustonDynamo.com. Get your Dynamo and Dash tickets. Bud Light reminds you, BBVA Compass Stadium is the place to be. Bud Light is the perfect beer for whatever happens. We will take a Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture break.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gau Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
Hey, Amigo Energy reminds you that while November 1st is daylight savings time, any time is electricity savings time for Amigo Energy. Now, this month's featured product is Assurance 24. This program offering a single all-in rate at all usage levels with no customer service or payment fees. Now, look, if you're like me, you want to save money. This program is ideal for apartments or for anyone who doesn't use a lot of electricity. So if you're tired of getting hit with low usage fees or having to pay fees when you call in your payment, well, guess what? Assurance 24. Now, that's Assurance 24 is the program for you. Go to www.AmigoEnergy.com/soccermatters. That's AmigoEnergy.com/soccermatters. Enroll today or call 888-995-9299. That's 888-995-9299. Sign up for electricity savings today. Well-known writer, you know him. He has covered the game of soccer throughout. He is Steve Davis. He joins us now. Steve, thank you very much for coming on the show.
How you doing, Glenn?
I'm doing good. All right, so decision day. I thought we were talking politics all of a sudden there, but decision day did turn out to be pretty awesome, didn't it?
Man, I went back and looked, Glenn, and the first time I wrote, hey, come on, let's get it done. Let's start using simultaneous kickoffs. You know, it creates so much drama. The first time I wrote that was 2009. So it took him a while to get there. I wrote for World Soccer Talk last week. This happens a lot, I think, with Major League Soccer. I think they do a lot of things right, but sometimes we're just a little impatient, and it takes them a while to get there. They got there, and, man, it was cool. And I'm telling you, it's going to be better. In future years, there are going to be years where it'll be more like this, where – some things are on the line, but there are going to be years where, you know, there's more playoff spots on the line. There's more playoff spots that are open. You know, yesterday all the playoff spots were more or less decided in the East, and there are some things still out there. But there are going to be years when it's going to be absolutely fantastic. So for the first time they did it this way, simultaneous kickoffs, I thought it was very cool.
Yeah, I agree with you. And you were always ahead of the curve. But, you know, Major League Soccer has been awfully slow on some of these things. And when you're talking about that in 2009, you say to yourself, wow, that's a lot of years we could have had. All this drama, you know. And I was calling a game yesterday. I was calling the Dynamo Vancouver game. And it was exciting because during the game we were able to keep updating people with scores and how the table was shifting. And, you know, Vancouver could have ended up anywhere from 2-6. So I don't know. Why does it take so long sometimes?
It's a good question and it's a good conversation to have. And we should always, you know, part of the role of us as journalists is, you know, hold people's feet to the fire. Why aren't we doing this? Why can't it be better? And when I wrote that, by the way, in 2007, I cited – you know, times in 2009 when I wrote that. I cited times in 2007 and 2008. So, you know, we're going back even more years there. And the thing is, you know, we look around the world and we say, hey, you know, the World Cup does simultaneous kickoffs that last day in group play. You know, Premier League, they use simultaneous kickoffs. Man, they've been around 100 years, 120 years, and we do just forget the Major League Soccer is still pretty young, And that has consequences. You know, you could say, well, that's just an excuse, but no, it's not. You know, in 2009, as I wrote that, not everybody, there were still quite a few teams that just didn't have control of their stadiums. It was still just a different Major League Soccer where local broadcast deals precluded some of this stuff. You can't go to, you couldn't go to the local broadcasters and say, hey, we're taking your game. We're moving your game to the slot that we want, not the slot that, you know, not the slot that you want. And it seems like we would sit there and say, well, no, national interest should prevail. But, you know, everybody's losing money in Major League Soccer at the time. Mostly they still are. And you just couldn't go to the owners and say, we're taking more money away from you to do it the way we want to do it instead of, you know, letting you have your local broadcast contract. Anyway, and I know that's kind of, you know, that gets into some of the arcane stuff, but you ask why it takes so long, and I would have liked to have seen it done sooner, but I think there were some legitimate scheduling reasons why they just couldn't, and I'm just glad they finally got to it.
He's Steve Davis, World Soccer Talk. You've known him. I mean, I met Steve when you were writing for the Dallas Morning News and covering...
when I had hair.
And the Dallas Burn way back in the day. Those were great times. You know, you've seen it all, Steve. You're a very talented individual when it comes to writing and journalism and knowledgeable about soccer, obviously, in a very big way. Do you see healthy pressure growing now in the media, both from a national perspective and then from a local perspective?
Healthy pressure, I'm not quite sure I understand what you mean there, Glenn.
Well, healthy pressure from the media. In other words, Matt Pence in Seattle of the Seattle Times, and you've written articles like this questioning certain things. Matt Pence wrote an article about, was the Clint Dempsey investment worth it? Which I think are really legitimate, good questions that need to be asked when it comes to increasing debate, talk, conversation around our sport if one day we want to be positioned on morning talk shows and drive-time home talk shows.
No, I think it's absolutely a good thing. And to be honest with you, Glenn, I think those questions were always being asked. The difference is, you know, were they just being asked in, you know, on little internet chat rooms or just at the, you know, at the local pub around the corner from the stadium by, you know, a group of concerned fans or, you know, were fans posting, you know, just on the internet or was it just blogs? And so now the same questions are being asked that have always been asked. They're just being asked in bigger platforms and more people are involved, more people are invested in the answers. And so, yes, of course, it's a good thing. And not everybody's going to be right. You know, there's a lot of criticism of Jurgen Klinsmann right now. Some of it I agree with, some of it I don't. But the important thing, as always, is that we're having the conversations, and the more conversations we have, the better the whole thing is for it. So yeah, the answer to your question is, I don't think healthy pressure, as long as it's, you know, reasonable and not over the top and personal. I don't think healthy pressure is ever a bad thing.
No, it seems to be needed. Now, you know, in our market here in Houston, we have really absolutely no mainstream coverage of
I think what you do, I was telling a buddy, you know, just a while ago, I was like, I said, hey, he wanted to go have a beer. I said, no, I'm going to work out. Then I got to get on Glenn's show, and I love doing a show because he's been fighting these battles for years, and now I think you got a little easier time getting sponsors. You probably got a little better time slot, and you know these things just keep getting better. So I just disagree a little bit. I think you are in some ways, you know, more mainstream now than you were in 2005 when, you know, the first time the Dynamo, that we just passed that 10-year anniversary, and you know, in 10 years from now, you and shows like yours are going to be even more mainstream.
Well, I think that it's a fair point you're saying, and thank you for reminding me of the privilege of having platforms. I appreciate that. And I guess what I really meant was, you know, morning talk shows outside of the stuff that I'm doing,
sure.
You know, the Houston Chronicle, you know, local news stations. I mean, you know, it's really not there, and you know, I sometimes thought if I was in a position in management at a team, boy, I would want that. And I would, you know, and I know it's hard to cultivate, but boy, I would certainly want that because, number one, I'd want to be held to the fire. I would want my staff and everybody in the organization and our culture held to it. And then player performance needs it as well.
Yeah, and I think you see it in more and more markets. I mean, you decided Seattle. I think the newspaper up there, the media covers the team really well. It's, I think as the newer markets come online, I see that they get, they tend to get covered pretty well. You know, Orlando, what's happening there, and you know, of course, what happened in Portland and up in Seattle and Toronto. You know, I saw the back page of the Toronto, you know, the front page of the Sports, which is the back page. I saw the papers up there, and I think these new markets come online. They see MLS as this. Yeah, this kind of new, fancy, kind of cool league. This is the league where David Beckham and Thierry Henry played, and they cover it pretty well. So it changes, man. It's just, you know, you and I have been talking about these things for 20 years. We wish it could have happened 20 years ago. Then 10 years ago, we wish it were happening faster. But, you know, it just these things do take time, and they get better every single year. And 5 years from now, they'll be even better. And the mainstream – and the other thing, Glenn, is look, some of these, you know, what you call mainstream media – you know, other people, no offense to anybody here, and I got a lot of friends in the business, but a lot of people call it dinosaur media.
Yeah, it's true.
And one of the reasons is because, you know, they don't change very quickly. And luckily, it's a whole different media age where we get online and we can, you know, we can find pretty much whatever we want. And just speaking honestly here, the coverage or the lack of coverage from the mainstream media, It doesn't dent the game like it once did, because honestly, it just doesn't matter as much anymore.
Because there's other sources, but it still can't hurt. And you know, there still is legitimacy to local television, to you know, local radio. I think is important. All of this, newspapers. You know, it still doesn't hurt if there's an article about the Houston Dynamo on the front page of the Sports. It just sort of legitimizes you. And I think you made a great point. It's different for different markets. Sure. I think sometimes I get frustrated here because this is such a grand city when it comes to people from all over the world who love the sport, that just, you know, I want them to sample and come to the MLS party, because boy, they could entirely change the future sort of arc of MLS in Houston.
No question, and you're right. It does. It does kind of quicken the pace of things. If you're right, you know, if the newspaper treats it a little better, then the sports talk it talks about it a little more. The newspapers react to that, so they cover it a little bit more, and it kind of, there's this kind of nuclear fission. So you're absolutely right. But I don't know, Glenn. At some point, I think you and I, guys like you and I, we just do what we do, and we just try to cover the game the best we can. And you know, we can, you and I could beat our heads about this. You know, talk about it for the next 2 hours, and at the end of the day, we'd be right back where we started.
So what are you telling me, Steve?
I just kind of go on and try to tell people about the game as best I can.
You're telling me I'm soapboxing too much, huh? Should I get off the soapbox?
Hold on.
I'm going to get off the soapbox right now.
I just don't worry about things I can't control that much.
You're going to hear me hit the floor. There, I'm off the soapbox. Well, you're right. You know what? You worry about things you can control. I guess it's just wants and desires.
Sure.
What makes you tick, Steve, just on that whole conversation right there? What, you know, I know you're enamored with the game. I know you love the game. What makes you tick?
Man, I tell you what, I just take pride in trying to do the best I can with telling people about the game. You know, it's funny because I always kind of think about what you and I just talked about. I do think about that sometimes. I always think about some little indie rock band getting started and playing in front of a club, you know, playing in a small club. One day they might play, you know, they might play a BBVA Compass Stadium, sold out, 20,000 people screaming. But for this night, I always think about them playing in front of 18 people at some small little place, and man, they're just rocking their hearts out. They're just doing everything they can because they love the music. They love playing in front of people. They don't care whether it's 18,000 or 18. And I kind of think of us as the same way. I at some point, I don't care if 5 people are reading my stories or 500 or 5,000 or 50,000. At some point, you're a professional. You do the best you can. You try to write it. You try to make it interesting, the writing, and kind of make it a little edgy, but try to make it as accurate as you possibly can by talking to people. At some point, you're just a professional, and you just try to do the best job you can. And really, that's what gets me up and gets me going. And you know, I don't. At some point, I don't care how many people. We all want to have a bigger voice in the game. But at some point, you just be a professional and you just do the best job you can.
He is a professional. He's Steve Davis, World Soccer Talk, joining us here. And if we continue in this discussion, and I ask you about
the genuine nature of the way you write, which it's obvious you have that. You have a very truthful way of writing and a very, very great style, I think, that you've created. But when you look at the commercialization of the sport, you look at, you know, for instance, I jumped on the internet. The first thing I see is Jose Mourinho's agent is already feeling out Inter Milan and PSG and other teams who have managers and who, quite frankly, might be successful right now. But he's already looking for his fallback position, considering there's a possibility he could be removed at Chelsea, if in fact he is. In some ways, it's a little distasteful to me. I don't know. And I'm having a hard time sometimes moving in and out of the commercial side of the sport. And I'm so desperately seeking out more of those genuine indie band 18-person moments.
Yeah, I mean, you're right about that. But sometimes I guess we just have to be careful what we wish for. You know, we were talking a second ago about how we wanted a little bigger platform for Major League Soccer and wanted more discussion of it. But but there's the other side of it, right? That's what you get. You get more agents, more money, and you know what they say: more money, more problems. So. Sometimes, and it's just sports as well. I mean, I love working in soccer. I love that, I feel like I can really write with authority on the game. Before, I was writing about, at the newspapers, writing about soccer, but I was also writing about college football and some pro football and some professional sports. And yeah, it's distasteful as it gets bigger and the more money and the more influence, and people get more protective, which means they're just going to lie about things and some bad things go on. And, you know, soccer's got just a little bit less of that in our part of the world. You know, you go over to England where there is a lot more money and other parts of the world, a lot more. Well, heck, look at FIFA all over the world. So there's bad, slimy stuff that you have to wade through sometimes. And I kind of feel fortunate that, we like Major League Soccer and, the U.S. soccer enterprises to be a little bit bigger, but sometimes I like that it's a little bit smaller and we're all a little closer to the ground on all of it. And we don't really have to deal with too many Jose Mourinho situations.
Steve Davis of
World Soccer Talk.
World Soccer Talk. Remind everybody where they can get your podcasts and your conversations, Steve.
Yeah, so World Soccer Talk is where I do the writing, and then Mark Stein and I, ESPN's Mark Stein, we have a show, Soccer Today, ESPN Soccer Today, that airs on Sunday mornings. So you can go out and find that podcast on iTunes.
Steve, before I let you go, I can't let you go without talking about Oscar Perea, FC Dallas.
Okay.
Again, we mentioned that FC Dallas has one of the lower player salary budgets in Major League Soccer,
right,
along with the New York Red Bulls. They prove that dollars isn't everything. And just talk about Oscar Perea, the commitment to youth, and the relevancy of FC Dallas now up in that market in Frisco.
Well, it's funny, Glenn. I filled out my ballot, my media ballot for all the MLS awards today. And I know it's kind of weird. I did not vote for Oscar Perea for Coach of the Year. To me, it was neck and neck with Jesse Marsh. I ended up going with Marsh, and in a way it was kind of funny because I think Oscar Perea kind of hurt himself because I think he did fantastic this year. But honestly, if I'm being really honest, I think last year he did a better coaching job with a lot of these same young guys and a lot of injuries and got them to the playoffs anyway. And then if you go back to what he did in 2013 with Colorado, a team of essentially five rookies, and he took that team to the playoffs. That was unbelievable. So this is like the third best coaching job that Oscar Perea has done. But he really is so good at working with young players, and it just can't be said enough that the team here. I know that some of the fans, they want a big star and they want you to do it with the big stars. But I think it's a great story that Oscar Perea is doing it through homegrown players. These are kids that just grew up here. You know, not much older right now than the 14-year-old kids who are coming up through the system. They led the league going away this year in minutes by homegrown players. They've essentially got five homegrown starters now, and that's just unbelievable. And it's a great story. Congratulations, Jesse Marsh in New York. They did a great job up there doing it in a different way, But, you know, both coaches, congratulations to both of them. And the supporters of both those teams have a lot to be proud of.
Yeah, I've been enjoying watching Kellen Acosta. I remember watching him play against the San Antonio Scorpions a couple of years ago, and I was like, wow, this kid's ahead of the curve. You may say it's his third best coaching job, but this obviously with the experience that the Victor Ulloas, the Jesse Gonzalez's, the Moises Hernandez, the Kellen Acostas have gotten might make them a little bit more of a threat long term in the playoffs.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, we don't have to wait too long to find out. You know, I've heard some different people talk just today. I heard Taylor Twellman. I like Taylor a lot. I respect him, but you know, he thinks Vancouver and FC Dallas are going to be a little bit young, and you know, he might have a point. LA just doesn't look really good right now. They don't have. You know, they can't get that midfield balance sorted out with Gerard and where they want him to play higher up the field, further back. You know, Robbie Keane and Joe Dos Santos kind of want to play the same position, and they can't get that balance sorted out. They don't look great. And then again, you're going to bet against those guys. All the big game experience, guys like Gerard and Dos Santos and Robbie Keane and now Omar Gonzalez that they have, that it does count in the playoffs. And so it's, man, it's going to be fascinating, and I'll leave you with this. Anybody who says, you know, conspiracy theorists out there, they always cook up these weird theories, you know, and I never buy into them. Well, anybody who ever says Major League Soccer had a rig, they want to do it a certain way, they would not have set up Los Angeles and Seattle to play three days after decision day, just play a one game, one of them's out. These are one of the marquee teams, and one of them, their playoff run is going to last all of 3 days. One of them is going to be out, and man, it's going to be fantastic. I can't wait for that match.
Yeah, that's going to lead to a lot of criticism in the losing market. There is no doubt. Steve, as always, thank you very much. You're a genuinely great interview. World Soccer Talk, Steve Davis, longtime veteran in this business. Steve, thank you very much.
Always like talking soccer with you, Glenn.
All right. That's the one and only Steve Davis. Quick word here before we go to break. The Daspit Law Firm is working for you 24/7. They are Houston personal injury attorneys. They handle personal injury cases. So these are plant refinery accidents, medical injuries, industrial, 18-wheeler, right down to boat and car. DaspitLaw.com, 713-364-0915. DaspitLaw.com. My thanks to John Daspit. And with the Daspit Law Firm, you can rest more assured in times of stress that when you're in an accident, you've got a hard-hitting personal injury attorney on your side to fight for your right for compensation. 888-273-1045. Both in English and Spanish, 888-273-1045, both in English and Spanish. Soccer Matters, thanks to Daspit Law Firm. We'll take a break. It is a 7-Up break. We come back with more.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gao Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to the show here. We roll on here with the best in soccer talk. Quick word here for Bud Light. Bud Light reminds you, you want to get down to BBVA Compass Stadium. What a facility this is on the east side of downtown. Bud Light reminds you, get in there with like-minded individuals, whether it's for Major League Soccer, the NWSL, or all the games coming through town international. We've seen Lionel Messi there with Argentina. We have Women's Olympic qualifying coming up here. The U.S. Women's National Team likely going to be playing in the semifinals and finals down there. Bud Light reminds you, be a part of it. Bud Light reminds you, they are longtime sponsors of soccer on the radio, moving the sport forward. Personally, I thank Bud Light for all their support over all the years. All right, great opportunity now to bring in from Seattle, Matt Pence. He's a writer for the Seattle Times. Wrote a really interesting article, covers the team beautifully, but wrote an article about Clint Dempsey. The headline was this: has Clint Dempsey been worth the Sounders' investment? Dempsey signed in 2013, as we all know, for huge money. And we all know what is happening in Seattle. But let's talk to Matt Pence now, who joins us. Thank you, Matt, for coming on the program.
Yeah, anytime. Thanks for having me.
Well, I love this piece because this isn't a puff piece. This is a piece that clearly is a piece about a player who is expected to do big things, has at times not looked interested, but now all of a sudden the final game of the year has produced two goals. Now the Sounders will play the LA Galaxy in the playoffs. What was the response to the article?
It was mostly positive, honestly. I think the story, what it was sort of meant to do was just sort of drive the discussion and just sort of bring this up. And I think that it did that. I didn't really get any kind of negative feedback, though I did get a couple different Twitter comments yesterday when he scored the two goals, sort of bringing that question back up. And yeah, you, as you mentioned, I mean, it wasn't a pastiche. At the same time, once you go in and read the story, it wasn't really necessarily a takedown piece of Dempsey either. It was just sort of legitimately asking the question a couple years in, has he been worth the money? And once I even sort of dug into the story, talking to players behind the scenes and the front office and everything, I mean, almost the consensus from the club on and off the record, and especially from guys in the locker room, was that, yeah, maybe his production hasn't been great, but they still think that he's worth it. So at the end of the day, even the story asked the question, and it actually sort of kind of came down on Dempsey's side, but I thought it was kind of a good example of at least bringing up these questions and asking them, because I do think that, as you alluded to, that it's good to kind of do that.
Yeah, this is called healthy pressure. When I see young men like you producing these types of articles, I go, this is what drives the sport. This is what we absolutely don't have here in mainstream media in Houston. And I would think any club, the Seattle Sounders, would look at this and go, wow, isn't this outstanding that the Seattle Times is posing this question, driving the topic, getting people to talk about it. And this is what it's all about. So when designated players are signed, the Kakas, the Giovinkos, the Michael Bradleys, the Gerard, the Lampards, the Villas, on and on we go, Clint Dempsey's, Dos Santos, there is an expectation, just like there is in Houston with Kubo Torres. People believe that a designated player, in most cases, should be your best player. Agree or not?
Yeah, I think that I agree. I think that pressure is fair, because especially when you look at the dynamics and the economics of the league, is it's not just that these guys are coming in and making these big lumps of salary. It's that when you look up and down the roster at their teammates, there are still guys making 60 grand or 70 grand and expected to contribute in their own way, even if they're just depth players. So I think that the way that the league is structured, and sort of the imbalance of the salary structure, if one guy is going to make such a significant chunk of everything, I think it's fair to sort of put them on a little bit higher of a pedestal and expect them to come through. That's sort of what the money's for.
Per your article, you quoted Sports Illustrated here, $9 million transfer fee for Clint Dempsey, and then 3.5 years at $24 million. Now, when the guy hasn't scored goals in the regular season, and he doesn't look interested like he was in Houston, absolutely there should be pressure on, and I think fans should take that to the bank and hold people to the fire. I don't think there's any question. That is ridiculous money for laymen like you and me. So one game's not going to make it. If they get eliminated by the Los Angeles Galaxy, I assume that people are going to say, based on this season, he has not been worth the investment.
And that's the dynamic up here right now, is that even going into the year all along, it was sort of after having won the Supporters' Shield last year as the regular season champion, actually won the double with the U.S. Open Cup, but then fell short in the playoffs again. Coming into this year, the goal all along was MLS Cup or bust. And granted, they went through a long period of struggle, followed by a long period of still looking less than their best, but it was always going to come down to these playoffs and how the standards and how the Sounders stack up. So I think the jury's still a little bit out, just because they asked to be judged on their playoff merits, and that's about to happen here on Wednesday night.
Do you think that's the downside of Major League Soccer? As exciting as yesterday was, and it was truly exciting, and playoffs are exciting, do you think it minimizes the regular season? Do you think it allows for there to be a fallback position, which is during the Junes and the July months, that, oh, it's okay, we'll turn it on at the right time, we'll get into the playoffs. And I know nobody wants to admit that, but I think subconsciously it just happens, that there's so many games and that there's this element of a push at the end of the year. So the devaluing of the regular season, is that a problem?
I certainly think that the 12-team playoff field is too many. If you're going to have 12 teams out of 20 make it in, it just allows for too much of a margin for error, in my opinion, and that you sort of alluded to, that if you allow teams to just slip up and get in anyway, I agree that it does sort of devalue the regular season. And I think that that's always kind of going to be the case. I mean, there's a reason why. I mean, this isn't Europe where a single table would really be embraced and people want to see the playoffs. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But I do think that some steps can be taken to at least sort of make it a little bit tougher to get in. We actually had sort of Ziggy Schmidt touched on this today, that the top two finishers in each conference sort of get a double win where they get a bye into the next round and they get to take on a weakened team that's playing its third match in a week and a half. And sort of how, at least in some ways, that's really prioritizing this top two. So that's something. I mean, at least it's giving some teams that pushed the Dallases and the Vancouvers that had a very good regular season, it's at least rewarding that a little bit more than maybe it has in the past.
Yeah, I'm with you, though. I just don't think there's enough consequence to regular season mediocrity, to be fair. Somehow that's got to be something I think in the future that's addressed. How about Ziggy Schmidt? How much pressure is he under? I mean, is he gone if he doesn't get to the MLS Cup?
That's a fair question. That's sort of been the question every year, just whenever, these last couple of years at least, when they keep falling short in the playoffs. I don't necessarily think it's that, that it's MLS Cup or bust necessarily. I know that last year, having had all the regular season success that they had and the team that they put together, I think that sort of validated a lot of the thrust that the team has kept in them. But yeah, there's always going to be that question until he and Seattle get over that hump and until they finally win that MLS Cup. And if it's not going to come, it's not going to come. And at some point, they are going to have to make a change. But I don't think that it's necessarily MLS Cup or bust, but it would certainly help his case if he's finally able to take down the Galaxy in the playoffs here on Wednesday and start down that playoff road.
He's Matt Pence, Seattle Times, exceptional coverage of the Seattle Sounders in the newspaper. I'll tell you what, after watching their performance here in Houston and the lack of urgency, I was a little bit shocked, quite frankly. I don't know if you were.
Yeah, that was certainly jarring to me. Really, the last month or two of the years, they're coming into the playoffs, I believe it's 8 games unbeaten, 4 wins and 4 draws. But away from home, it was the same thing in Kansas City, where they went on the road and played Kansas City's B team and only got a draw there, too. And I had certainly questioned that, and it was a little bit surprising, lack of urgency, and why weren't they pushing more? But as you sort of alluded to, it's pretty simple to get in. They've been pretty open about the fact that they wanted to get into the playoffs and have everybody as fresh as possible and everybody peaking. So if they do end up getting caught and making a run or getting caught and making a run, maybe it sort of validates easing in and saving it up and going for it. So I think that all of that's going to come down to how they do in the playoffs, because it's going to be a lot easier to look back on those games and say, well, maybe they're just saving up for the right times. But if they go one and done, when they could have pretty easily pushed into the top two if they had won a couple of those games, it's going to be another hard question being asked.
Matt, how much healthy pressure is there in Seattle from the fans? I mean, do they get after players? Do they get after the coach? You know, your article is certainly healthy pressure, fair, interesting. Do the fans do that? Do this big fan base that comes out, do they get after the Sounders, and do they push them in a way that is more than just kind of a love affair?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that there is definitely at least some sort of pressure from the fans. And it's kind of a hard thing to answer that, too, because of the fact that, yes, they've yet to win MLS Cup, and that's obviously the be-all or the end-all and be-all of every single year. But at the same time, they've made the playoffs for 7 consecutive years, and it's maybe the 12-team feels a little bit much, but, I mean, they were getting in tighter fields, and they've been getting where they wanted to go, and that was sort of the baseline. And maybe that's changed. I think that it's starting, the fans are starting to expect a little bit more, maybe requiring that they do make that run. But there is a pressure here, but I do think it's fair to ask, really, how much the fans can kind of expect from a team that have maintained that playoff stature every single year.
He's Matt Pence of the Seattle Times joining us here. Matt, as we continue on, how do you pick your topics? In other words, the Dempsey topic, I mean, how do you decide what you want to write about?
Some of that just kind of comes with being around the team and sort of getting the pulse of the fans and everything else. I know the Dempsey story just sort of came out of it. Been kind of a trying year between the suspension that he got and leaving on national team duty. And you do start to hear kind of the grumbles behind the scenes from the fan base of is he fully committed and stuff like that. So that drives some of it. A lot of the bigger picture stuff just kind of comes from the league. Whenever they're changing the salary structure like they do sometimes, and it seems like every so often there's a big picture issue that kind of comes up that sort of allows me to delve into that, like with the Jordan Morris, the standout young national team player from Seattle who's at Stanford and has chosen to go there a couple years when he could have played for the Sounders. And his story sort of touches on a lot of interesting topics about youth development here and MLS versus college and all that. So a lot of times you just allow the issues surrounding the league to drive the coverage and try to take as wide a lens as you can, if that makes sense.
Matt Pence joining us here of the Seattle Times wrote a piece, has Clint Dempsey been worth the Sounders' investment? Well, based on the last game, yes. But if the Sounders do not beat the LA Galaxy, then that's a question that obviously will bubble to the surface again very, very quickly. How do you see Seattle going into this with LA? I see it as the perfect motivation, the opponent.
For sure. I mean, I think that going in, it's almost, if it was played on a neutral field, which is impossible the way the playoffs normally are, or the way the playoffs are currently set up, I'd say it's a 50-50 toss-up. The teams seem like they're in almost the exact same place. Talented pieces that maybe haven't quite fully gelled. Two teams that have proven it in the past by winning playoff series and getting where they have. So I think that all things being equal, I'd say it's pretty much a toss-up, but having the game played in Seattle, and that would have actually flipped had LA been able to equalize in Kansas City yesterday. But the game being held in Seattle, I think, gives the Sounders a slight edge.
Yeah, expected to win, I would think, in front of their home base of 40-plus thousand fans. Looking at Los Angeles, looking at Seattle, what have been some of the biggest question marks around the Sounders outside of Clint Dempsey this year? Positionally, tactically, what have been some of the issues?
Well, it's been just a very odd year because after last season and all the success that they have, the team sort of made a concerted effort to keep the core together. They really didn't make any kind of, there wasn't much movement even in the rotation. They sort of kept the whole core intact to make another run and to see what they could do and sort of leaning on continuity. And then come May or come June, whenever Dempsey and Martin both went out for a significant chunk of time, the team just, they couldn't get the results. I mean, they leaned on some of the rotation guys they had and they just couldn't get it done. And they really just kind of went into a free fall. And at that point, the Sounders sort of, I don't know if panic's the right word, but they ended up just going out and splurging and bringing in all of these new high-name pieces like Andreas Ivanchets and Nelson Valdez and Eric Freeburg, who had all played overseas. They brought all those guys in, and then the last couple months has sort of been a race to try to get them integrated and try to see what this team's best setup and chemistry is, and I don't think that they've found that yet.
How has Nelson Valdez been? Because he's an incredible story.
Yeah, he's on it. Yeah, great story, great background. He's been through an incredible amount in his career. But since he's been here, he's been limited by injury almost from the start. He came in and picked up a calf injury that just kind of lingered. The way that he plays doesn't give him any favors in MLS. He's a guy that is a forward. He's dogged and he's hardworking, and he gets into those spaces and challenges defenders. But he's been beat up almost from day one, and he was actually held out of the final game here. I think that he'll be able to go on Wednesday, but he's been pretty significantly limited during his so far in Seattle.
He's Matt Pence. He's with the Seattle Times, covers the Seattle Sounders. Gonzalo Pineda and Osvaldo Alonso, I love that pairing. Two very good passers of the ball. Pineda obviously has got a great range of passing. Tell me how Gonzalo Pineda has been this year, and then take me into Osvaldo Alonso and the type of season he's had.
They've both had a pretty similar year, honestly. They're both. I agree with you that whenever both those guys are healthy and have the time to establish a rhythm, it would be hard to find a better, at least distributing pairing in the league, the way that they can keep the ball and the way that they play off of each other. But that just really hasn't been the case for much of this year. Both of them have been limited by injuries. Alonzo ended up before the season. He had groin surgery, and he's never really fully got going. Pineda's been limited too. Both of them are getting a little bit older, like a lot of this core is. So both those guys on their day, they're a great asset for the team to have. But especially with Alonzo in a position that's very important, that defensive midfielder role sort of is the glue that keeps everything together for Seattle. He might even miss out on Wednesday's game. He was taken off early of Sunday's finale with some kind of leg issue, and they weren't sure about practice today. There's a chance that he misses out. So both those guys have been very good when they've been in, but their reliability has been a bit of an issue.
Matt, thank you very, very much for coming on the program tonight. We really do appreciate it, and we continue to look forward to your writings in the Seattle Times.
Appreciate it. Anytime.
All right, that's Matt Pence. We wrap it up here tonight. Quick reminder, over on Facebook, all the information's there, Soccer Matters. Twitter, Glenn Davis Soc. We will call it a night, and our thanks to all of you for listening in. Good night, everyone.